Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
This weekend, I want to share with you, I think you're going to find it very interesting, how to treat the unbeliever. What? How to treat the unbeliever. I think right now that we are on the brink of an opportunity of revival and renewal and an awakening. I think, you know, we've been talking about all during COVID that everybody has a ministry. Do y'all remember that way back a few months ago? I was trying to equip you for the work of the ministry and God's purpose for your life, that we all have a ministry, we have a purpose, and we need to get at it. We've talked about good works, and by the way, here we are in Serve Timber. Serve Timber, what is that all about? Doing one random act of kindness every day for every day this month of September. And you know what's going to happen? It's going to snowball. It's going to be a tsunami. We're going to see a breakthrough because through the ministry of kindness, hearts open up. Through good works, hearts open up. Someone was just telling me here this week how they actually went to a car dealership and they had bought a new car there, a different car there. They were to go back to get some paperwork done. And they said they walked in and you could tell that the secretary, the receptionist had a bad day because they were very rude, very unkind, very belligerent. And this member of our church told me, you know what, Pastor? I just said, I'm going to put on kindness. I'm going to put on a servant's heart. And they said by the time it was done, they saw a total transformation of that receptionist. When they were cruel, you know, it's a cruel world right now, that they responded to kindness. So that's what we're going to talk about this weekend on how should we treat the unbeliever. Again, I think we're on the verge of an awakening in our church, in our community, in our neighborhoods, in our subdivisions, wherever you live, that we're on the verge of revival, an awakening, a turnaround. So I believe it's real important that we seize the moment and redeem the time. What should we be doing right now? Well, as a parent, you need to make sure you're leading your children to God, a God who's for them, and helping them discover their purpose for their life. A priority of a parent is to lead their children to God. We can't force them, we can't push them, but we're to lead them. Where do you get that, Pastor? You know, in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, let me give you a story. The Bible talks about how that God chose Abraham. Y'all remember Abram who became Abraham? Y'all remember that? Abram who became Abraham, he's the father of our faith, right? Well, the Bible says that God chose him. Why did God choose him? The Bible says God chose him because he knew he would pass on to his children his faith. He knew that he would pass on to his children towards God, lead them towards God. So as parents right now in COVID 2020 in the fall, our number one priority is to lead our children and our grandchildren to God, all right? But then our next responsibility during COVID, so Serve Timber 2020, our next priority is to lead others to God. You see, that's why we're here. We're here to go and make converts and disciples. It's the Great Commission. So I want to help you with that. Pastor, you know, I work with really, really some really cruel sinners, really cruel, unkind unbelievers. How am I going to reach them? Pastor, you know, I have a husband who's not a believer. How am I going to reach him? Pastor, I have a wife. I have parents that won't come to church with me. They don't even go online or are driving church. How am I going to reach my parents? How do I do that, Pastor? How do I reach those people? Well, I want to help you. I want to equip you. I want to serve you. I want to lead you today into God's word, and let's find out. So again, how to treat, as believers, unbelievers. How should we treat them? Again, the word right now we hear is a cruel world. And it seems like people are hurting and hurt people. It seems like people are in conflict and people in conflict cause conflict. It seems like people whose lives are out of order, they cause disorder and strife and confusion. What's the right way? How should we respond to them? How should we treat them? Well, Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5, I hope you have your Bible here in the auditorium. And those of you online, I sure do love you. Our small groups, our watch parties. And by the way, if you want to start a watch party, you know, check us out, call us up, find out. We have people on our team that can help you do that. If you want to find a small group close to where you live or you want to start a small group, just call our offices. We have people who can help you with that all over the world. So here's what the Bible says. Live wisely. Live wisely among those who are not believers. So he tells us that we should live wisely among unbelievers and make the most of COVID. Make the most of September 2020. Make the most of every opportunity. So again, live wisely among those who are not believers. The Bible is so relevant, it's going to show us how to treat unbelievers. And make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation, that's our speech. Now, I want you to say this with me, two words, letter C. Everybody here sure do look great today. Everybody at home, I know you look great by faith. Even if you're in your jammies and you're having a donut and coffee, I know you're looking good today. Amen. Out the drive-in, church, we love you. So everybody say these two words. The first word is conduct. Conduct. Say it again with me. All the hosts help me. Conduct. The second word is right here found, conversation. Can you say that with me? Conversation. One more time, conversation. So we have two words. We have conduct, and number two, conversation. That's how we are to treat the unbeliever. We are to win them over with our conduct, and we're to win them over with our conversation. We're to win them over with our walk, and we're to win them over with our talk. Everybody say walk. Everybody say talk. Pastor, why do you have us to repeat? All you educators know why. When we hear ourselves say something, we tend to retain it longer. So let your conversation be gracious and cruel. No, gracious and attractive. So notice now, our conduct, that's our walk, our conversation, that's our talk, should be attractive to the unbeliever. Whoa. Our conversation, that's our talk. Our conduct, that's our walk, should be attractive. So I guess we have to ask ourselves, when we were at Lowe's this week or Wally World, Walmart, or when we were at JCPenney's or we were at the coffee shop or the grocery store, was our walk and was our talk attractive to the unbeliever? Were the world full of cruel, coarse, hurting talk and actions, walk? Were we different? Were we salt and light? Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so you will have the right response for everyone. Notice the right response for everyone. My response in a hurting world in September 2020 COVID reveals my spiritual maturity or lack of it. My response, how I respond, and I have to admit to you, I don't always respond correctly. You know, I'm sure you don't have them, but once in a while I have an off day, and those are the days that really brother or sister sandpaper don't want to come across my path because I may not respond correctly. But we're all working towards it, right? We're all working towards our response, that our response would be the right one. When our response is the biblical Christian response, it will open hearts. It will open hearts to receive the gospel. So how do we treat the unbeliever? We treat them, we respond to them, we reach them, we win them through our conduct and our conversation, through our walk and our talk, through our response and not reaction off the cuff. That's powerful. Can we have a praise break? Wow. Isn't that powerful? That's instruction. That's wisdom from God's word right now where we're living, so that we seize the opportunity to make a difference with our life by leading our family and leading others to Christ. Don't see anywhere in there where it says I have to have a degree or go to seminary or Bible college, even though I want you all to go to Southeastern University right here at Church on the Rock. We don't have to go to Southeastern to do this. This is for every believer. This is for every believer at every age. All right? So what I want to do is we are to attract others to Christ. It's our responsibility through our conduct. And so how are we going to do it? Number one, by reaching out to them. By reaching out to them. Like I told you when we began today's message, it is a member of our church. Remember the story? Went to a car dealership, had bought a car there, had to go back and do some paperwork. And the receptionist was kind of, you know, angry, bitter, coarse, rude. And when that member of our church responded correctly, maybe not how they wanted to or felt to, but they did the right thing, the Christ-like thing, it actually affected their heart. They reached out to them. So how are we going to win them to Christ, and how should we treat them? By reaching out to them. By reaching out to them, looking for ways to help them. Looking for ways to help them. So really, tomorrow morning, we can ask, you know, how can I help you? That should be our mindset. How can I help those people I come across today? I want to reach out to them. I want to look for opportunities how I can help them. All right? Number two, by accepting them as they are. So reaching out to them by looking for ways I can help them. Mow a yard, buy groceries, go get some medicine, help them with their kids with their virtual schoolwork. Whatever it might be, bring them to church, share a message with them, invite them to your small group, invite them to your watch, I don't know, but reach out to them and look for ways you can help them. And then number two, by accepting them as they are. And you know, this is one of the cool things that I love about you, I love about our church. We are a diverse church, and we are a church that loves people, and we accept people as they are. We don't try to clean people up or say, you know, you can't come if you don't do these certain things. If we're going to influence, if we're going to be attractive to unbelievers, we can't judge them. We can't criticize them. We can't put them down. We can't gossip about them. We can't respond incorrectly to them. We have to accept them as they are. All right? Number three, through the ministry of kindness. Through the ministry of kindness. There is actually a ministry of kindness. I've done a series on that down through the years. Kindness in a world that's cruel. Kindness will open doors. Kindness will give you favor. I encourage you sometime, if you're a Bible student, look up the word in your concordance, kind or kindness, and you'll be amazed at how many times it's in the Bible. Because through kindness, not cruelty, but through kindness, hearts melt, hearts open, hearts become receptive. How should we treat the unbeliever? We should every day, how can I reach out to those people around me? How can I reach out to them by helping them? Somebody said success is finding a need and filling it. Finding a need and filling it. Somebody else said that success is solving problems for other people. Solving problems for other people. And then number two, what was it? Accept them as they are. Accept, not a super spiritual attitude, not a judgmental attitude, not a religious attitude, but accepting people as they are. It lowers their defense system. Then number three, through the ministry of kindness. How should we be treated? Pastor, but you don't know what they did to me. I don't, but they probably did the same thing to me. And I'm sorry for you. I know it stinks. But we're not going to reach them by being on their level. How can you help somebody when you're on the same level? All right? The only way you can help somebody is if you're above them, you know, like these steps. If somebody needed help up these steps, I couldn't help them, you know, if I'm down there on the bottom floor with them, get up the steps. It's when I'm a step or two above them, not, you know, in a superior attitude. What I'm talking about is this, is that we're not going to respond like they would respond. We're not going to, if we respond like they respond, we're on the same level. But as Christians, as born-again believers, we're asked to do and live a different way. So we want to reach down and we want to give them a helping hand up through the ministry of kindness. Who can I be kind to today? Who can I reach out to and help today? Who can I make feel accepted today in a world that's very dysfunctional? Number four, by responding like Christ would. You know, years ago, we used to have these wristbands that would say, "What would Jesus do?" I think it came after the book In His Steps. And I think we have to ask ourselves that. Not what would somebody else do? Not what do I feel like doing? But how do I treat unbelievers? I have to ask myself, am I responding like Christ would? That's real Christianity right there. Am I responding like Christ would? I don't want to respond like other people might. I want to respond like Christ would. And you know, when we do that, we gain the favor of God and we get attention. We become attractive because we're opposite of what's going on in the world. So you'll stand out. You'll be a city on a hill. You'll be light. You'll be salt. You'll make a difference with your life. Not responding how we feel like it, not responding like other people are, but how would Jesus respond? So what you do here, again, if you want to search it out, you look at the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you find out how Jesus treated different people. You know, we see how he treated the woman at the well, the Samaritan. They were of different race, and how he treated her. Oh, my goodness. You look at the woman who's caught in adultery, and how religious people responded to her, but how Jesus responded. So if you want to know how Jesus responded, you read the Gospels and you look at his interaction and dialogue with unbelievers. And then what do? He models it for us. We mimic it. We mimic it. All right? We imitate it. All right? Number five, by avoiding the appearance of evil. How do we treat the unbeliever? You know, we got to realize we live as Christians in a glass house. People expect more out of us. To whom much is given, much is required. So there could be things that wouldn't be wrong, but if people saw us do them, they might see it as wrong. Paul said, don't become a stumbling block to the unbeliever. So we have to ask ourselves, other people might do it. I could do it. It's not really sin, but would it cause people to stumble? I remember years ago, we had a guest come here to this on this campus on this side, and we had a guest that came in for kind of like a workshop, and we had people from other churches come in, other leaders come in, and you know, this one church with their leaders, they came in, and I'm not doing clothesline preaching today, okay, but I'm just giving you a story to illustrate what I'm saying, avoiding the very appearance of evil. So these leaders from this other church came up after the panel, the talk, the session to our guest and said, hey, let's go out and get a beer after the meeting tonight and let's fellowship. Well, it absolutely turned our guest off. What they didn't know was that he was an alcoholic years ago. So being an ex-alcoholic, he looked at, here's some church leaders that want me to go out and have a beer and talk about ministry. And what did it do? It was a stumbling block to him. And by the way, he didn't go out with them. So what am I saying? By avoiding the very appearance of evil, that's how you and I should treat the unbeliever. They do want to see a difference in us, not a holier-than-thou attitude. But for example, they want us to, you know, we should have a smile when the world has a frown, which we should be up in a down world. We should have peace when their world is full of turmoil. Remember, by your conduct, your behavior, and your conversation, by our walk and by our talk, we become attractive to the unbeliever. It takes time, by avoiding the very appearance of evil. All right, how should we treat unbelievers? By being sensitive to every opportunity. By being sensitive, you know, you go to a restaurant, and you hear people next to you talking. You know, Pastor Kim is so good at this. You know, we'll be out someplace, and she'll just strike up a conversation. Maybe we're waiting to be seated, or maybe we're waiting in a line. And, you know, maybe I'm going to the bathroom, I'll come back, or I'm going to go do this, and I come back. When I come back, she's got a small group going on right there. You know, she's very people-oriented, which is awesome. I love it. And she's seizing every opportunity. But what do I mean by that? Listen to what people are saying. Listen to what people are saying. How do you become sensitive? Listen to what people are saying. You know, the other day, you know, I was someplace again out in public at a business, and I knew the person there, and I said, "How are you doing today?" And they said, "Terrible. Pastor, I'm doing terrible. This is a terrible day." Well, tell me about it. So how should we respond? How should we treat the unbeliever? We should be looking, we should be sensitive to every opportunity throughout the day. How? By listening to what people are saying at the grocery store, the gas station, your neighbor outside, you know, you're talking across the fence, across the bushes, you're taking your kids to school, you're dropping them off, you're waiting in line, listening to what people are saying, because what they're saying is revealing how they're feeling. What they're saying is revealing how they're feeling, all right? So how should we treat the unbeliever? Our confession, okay? So conduct, confession, walk, talk, conduct, conversation, okay? I could say conversation or confession. Our words should be meeting their needs. Do you remember at the very beginning when we read from Colossians chapter 4, it was our text, it says, "Let your words be seasoned with salt." What does that mean? Well, you know what? This morning I fixed eggs for myself, for Pastor Kim, and I put salt on my eggs. I put sea salt on them. But I had to make sure I didn't put too much salt on them, because if I put too much salt on them, you know, Pastor Kim would say, "I don't want that. That's yucky." So you could have too much salt or not enough salt. But notice that our words should be seasoned with salt. What does that mean? Our words shouldn't be offensive. Our words should be meeting their needs. For example, have you ever been discouraged and you came to church? I know you have. I have. And you came to church and somebody encouraged you. Well, and it was just the right word. We would say it like a right now word. Somebody was sensitive to your needs, and their words met your needs. We've all been down, we've all been discouraged, and God sends somebody along, had a right now word, and it lifted us up. Their words met our needs. How should we treat an unbeliever? Right now, we have an opportunity to win and lead people to a God who's for them like never before. Oh my goodness. Our words should be meeting their needs. It should be salt and grace. Here's the verse as the team comes out. It says, "Let no foul or polluting language, nor evil words, or, you know, don't worthless talk, even come out of your mouth." How are we going to reach them? Through our talk and our walk, through our conversation and our conduct. "But only such speech as is good." Here we have it. Speech that is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, as is the thing to the need and the occasion. Do y'all see that there? To the need and the occasion. So our words should be meeting the needs. We shouldn't be hurting, harassing, horrifying, you know, bewildering, belittling, begrudging other people with our words. Our words should be meeting their needs. It's biblical. It says that the fitting of the need and the occasion, that it may be a blessing and give grace, God's favor to those who hear it. How powerful. 7 ways on how we should be treating unbelievers right now. I know it's counterculture. I know it's nothing like the world, but you and I aren't the world. We're in it, but we're not of it. And what an opportunity to lead our children to God, and to lead others to a God who's for them right now. Here's how we do it. Don't have to have a degree. Don't have to be super spiritual. Don't have to have known the Lord for 2, 3, 4, 5 decades. No, no. If we apply these 7 things and we do it every day, how about just through serve timber? I mean, I know we want to do it until Jesus comes back, but how about if we just, you know, intentionally do these seven things for this month of September? We're going to see a harvest. We're going to see family and friends, coworkers, students come to Christ. That's what it's all about. Would you bow your heads with me today? Everybody here in the auditorium, those in the drive-in church, those online campus, we love you so much. You're so awesome. I'm so proud of you for your faithfulness, your consistency. Those of you who have been here for a long time, those of you who are just joining us today, can we bow our heads? And I just want to throw out the net. Maybe you're watching and you'd say, I want a relationship with God, Pastor Blunt. I don't have one. I'm lonely. I'm empty. I'm discouraged. I'm disappointed. I'm angry. I'm upset. They said that during COVID, the average of a person has gained 19 pounds. Saw that on the internet the other day. During COVID in the U.S., that the average person has gained 19 pounds because of stress. I'm stressed out. I'm hurting. Pastor, I need peace. I need God. I'm ready. I want to lead you to a God is for you today. Or Pastor, I'm a Christian, and you know what, Pastor? I realize now what I should be doing. I shouldn't be feeling sorry for myself. I shouldn't be indulging in harmful habits. I should be leading people to God right now, starting with my children and my grandchildren. I should be leading people to God right now, my family and my friends and coworkers and people that I meet. I want to recommit, rededicate my life. I want to get on track. I want to get my life in order. Pray for me. Everybody here, if that's you online, drive-in church, pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I repent. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for me and He rose again. Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. I receive you now as my Lord and my Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Show me my ministry. And make a difference with my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.